Well, good evening, y'all. I hope you're well tonight. Feeling good, feeling good. Appreciate Pastor Mark and his leadership and all the praise team. God is good, isn't he? And it's just amazing to see how God equips his people. You know, I just want to just encourage you. I don't know if you need any encouragement tonight, but I'm going to give you some. Every single one of you have a gift from God. Maybe your gift is not music. Maybe your gift is not singing or playing an instrument, but God has gifted every one of you in a special way. And one of your greatest joys is going to use that, is to be using that in service of God, all right? So if you're on the sideline, not in service to God, then number one, you're being disobedient. But number two, you are missing out on the joy of serving God. So use what God's given you. You know, I could go on. I could go around the room. I'm not going to embarrass anybody, but it's a pleasure to be your pastor. I love you and just thankful for you. Grab your copy of God's Word, if you would, and go with me to Hebrews chapter 11. We're going to use a verse out of this sort of as our jumping off point tonight. We're not really going to exegete a text, so to speak, but we're going to kind of take a topic or a theme that we find in Scripture and see what Scripture has in store for us tonight. And so Hebrews chapter 11, it will be our jumping off a text out of that. One of the big things going on, one of the big, I guess, promotional points for a lot of businesses today are the rewards programs, all right? Now, how many of y'all are in rewards programs of some sort? Just raise your hand up. All right. Now, let's go gender here for a moment here, all right? How many of you men, your wives are in more of those than you are? Yeah, it's all good, right? I mean, that's my answer. I was talking with somebody. Who was I talking to a moment ago? And the answer is, yeah, my wife. Oh, I was talking back here to Justin. You know, it's like when you go up to Pastor Justin, when you go up to the thing, they say, hey, do you have a rewards card? They say, no, my wife does, and she's glad to have it, all right? But I have it in my pocket here, all right, some rewards cards. Now, some of these are mine. Katana is mine. I can't believe they went out of business. I've got an AutoZone card, I've got an O'Reilly's card, I've got a Kroger card, most importantly, I've got a Subway card, rewards card, I mean, I've got all these cards, and then I've got just those few, but then here's my wife's, and I know she's got more than that. I mean, she's holding back on me tonight here, all right, but all these, and we've got Brewster's, we've got Best Buy, we've got Speedway, I didn't even know we had one of those, Max Perks, who's that to? Walgreens, see, look at here, CVS, Rite Aid, do we even have a Rite Aid in Bowling Green anymore, yeah. Do we, okay, oh, another Subway record, we need to be on the same one, sweetheart, and I also see two Kroger cards here, we need to be on the same one of those as well, all right, but you can see all these going down through here, I mean, airlines do it with miles, how many of you guys are in airline miles programs, how many of you have ever actually used those to fly somewhere? Good. Yeah, they make it hard on you, don't they? You got to be pretty frequent in your flyer miles, I suppose, to get that. But department stores have them. You know, think about grocery stores. I pulled out a moment ago. I guess that is my card there, that Kroger one. You know, I pulled out the Kroger card a moment ago. Mark and I were heading down to Nashville yesterday, and he was telling me about a lady that he and Wendy got in behind at the gas pump at Kroger. And there's always a line, isn't there, when you go to the Kroger. Well, because of this crazy rewards program. And apparently she had hit the jackpot. It was her 10 cent off day or maybe a quarter. I don't know how far it goes. But anyway, she didn't just fill up her car. Mark and Wendy said she had gas cans with her in the back and filled up like 4 or 5 gas cans while she was at it. I mean, she just, you know, having a field day with this rewards program. And that's actually pretty smart. I don't know if you're allowed to do that, but she was doing it. And I thought that was a great, great idea to save some money. But, I mean, auto parts stores do it, you know, Subway, Katana, restaurants, things like that. Now, even tobacco companies used to do it. I mean, in the 90s, you remember, like the Marlboro Miles? I mean, it was, my mom and dad were both smokers at the time. And, man, we had the book and we were going through. It was like, yeah, I'm getting me a Marlboro grill and a jacket and all this stuff. It was like, man, dad, you need to smoke 3 packs a day. Instead, we got to get this going. I mean, I need some stuff up in here. I mean, even a Marlboro radio. And, I mean, it was just nuts, all the stuff that you could get. But as you think about it, just for a moment, why do these companies, why do they offer these rewards programs? Okay, so increased customer sales Absolutely. All right. I've done it. You've done it. You know, you just, oh, if I, you know, maybe you don't go look up your points or whatever, but you think, if I'll spend money here, right, I mean, I'll get something in return. So increased sales. What's another reason they do it?
Customer loyalty.
That's right. They want you to only buy from them. All right. And so they give you a few discounts and you're tied in. All right. And then the third reason is what?
Marketing.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not, but that's part of it, isn't it? Right. You, hey, did you hear what I got? What I saved? That's right. You get some marketing going on there. So that's a fourth one. But I would say also just customer data. They want your buying habits. They want to know how you're thinking, what you're doing, all those things. And so as you think about rewards, I mean, they motivate us, don't they? They do. I mean, to do things that maybe we wouldn't get. In fact, the other day, I was at a store. Where was it? It was at the IGA. And they were running a 2-for-1 on, I was getting some little breakfast bars for the kids on the way to co-op on last Friday. Maybe it was 2 Fridays ago. And it was 2-for-4. And I thought, I don't need two of them. I just need one of them. But man, I hate to miss a deal, right? There's going to be a reward, a benefit. I had self-control, though. I only bought one, okay? But nevertheless, I mean, the rewards motivate us, all right? Can I just say to you that that's how God wired us, right? That's not part of the fall. I believe that is part of how God made you and me as human beings. Now, of course, it gets twisted in the fall, right? The depravity affects even the reward center of our brain. But nevertheless, God is unashamed. He's unblushing in offering us amazing rewards for following him.
Coupons.
No, coupons. Holy coupons, right? Okay. So if you think about Christianity, reward and punishment, I mean, it's part of the fabric. It's part of the fabric of creation. In fact, today you experienced that. You went out to your job, right? And you say, yeah, it was like punishment. No, that's not what I mean. You went out to work for a reward, didn't you? They reward you in money, okay? It's just part of how society works, culture works, the world works. But it's essential. It's an essential part of understanding Christianity, all right? So as we come to the end of our series, Living Under Authority, I want to finish up with some encouragement for you. All right, I want to lay before you the rewards that God puts out there for you and me if we'll only be obedient to him, if we'll only be submissive, if we'll only come under his authority and live under his authority. Because we stated in the beginning that submission to anybody is hard. Anybody. And so submission to God is hard, especially for us in this fallen age, right? Still with that struggle of sin in our lives. We're redeemed spiritually, but not fully redeemed yet. We're being sanctified, but not wholly, completely yet on this earth in the present age, right? And so these rewards, though, they help us along. They're basically carrots on the stick for you and me to walk us forward. But before we get to rewards, let me just remind you for a moment, all right? We're gonna focus on rewards, but I got to say it. I got to remind you, okay? There are also punishments, right? As much as God says that reward, 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 we've got to realize that there are punishments if we will not be submissive to him. And we're not going to go with the list here. I'm just going to give you two big categories, all right? When we think about punishment, God's wrath, God's condemnation, all right? God's discipline, whatever word you want to use there. One, guys, that we got to keep in mind is that there is eternal punishment for those who die in their sin and never submit, never surrender to Jesus Christ in faith and love, okay? God has made that clear. He is right and just to condemn unrepentant, faithless sinners to hell, all right? Absolutely just to do that. But there's also not eternal punishment. If you're in Christ, praise God, you will never experience eternal punishment. But as his child, you will experience temporal punishment, right? You're going to get disciplined. We use that word more for what those who are in Christ. He, like a good father, will discipline us, all right? So we have the rewards, but God in his grace and mercy knows that you're stubborn. He knows that Ben Simpson's hard-headed, that sometimes we just want to do what we want to do. And so God puts punishments behind us to propel us forward with some fear, The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, Scripture says, okay? God is gracious in doing that. He needs to awaken us to the seriousness of the refusal to submit to Him. But He doesn't just put those threats, so to speak, behind us. He puts reward after reward after reward in front of us. You often have heard the phrase, you catch more flies with what?
Honey.
Honey. And that's true when it comes to the Lord. Reward draws us forward with joy. We chase after it. We want it. We've got to have it, all right? And so our jumping off text for tonight is Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. Hebrews 11, verse 6. This is the Hall of Faith chapter here. We're going to talk about a lot of the heroes of the faith and all these folks that God did amazing things through. But nevertheless, we come here and we see that the whole thing underlying this is this idea of reward. Faith and faithfulness leads to reward. Those who seek God, those who chase after God, those who submit to God will receive a great reward. So somebody read verse 6 for us. Who would read that tonight? So in order for us to, as it says here, listen to this, as Danny just read that, whoever would draw near to God must believe not only that He exists, but that He rewards those who seek Him. Do you believe that?
Yes.
Do you believe that He rewards those who seek Him? Absolutely, guys. Absolutely, God does. So we're going to look at we're going to look at 10 things here tonight. I made a list of 10. We could have been here all night listing these out, okay? With even more specificity or whatnot, okay? But 10 things is that I looked across the scripture and said, God, what would you have me to say to this people tonight on this idea tonight? These 10 stood out in my mind, okay? So the question, tonight's task is this. What rewards come to us from submission to God? And I've got 10 here. You might have 10 different ones, but I'm going to share these 10 with you tonight. And each one's going to have a passage of scripture to sort of back it up to help us understand the reward that is here. So what rewards come to us from submission to God? Let's pray and then we'll jump into it. Father, we praise You and thank You tonight for an opportunity to open Your word and to be instructed by You, God. And Father, I pray as they leave here, they would say that they've not just been instructed by Ben, but by instructed by You, Father. Everything I say, God, I pray comes from Your word. And I pray, Lord, that the rewards that we're about to talk about would draw us out into faith and submission to You, God, where blessing is found. Father, if there's anybody here tonight under the sound of my voice who is yet to repent and trust in Christ, I pray tonight that they would take to heart the punishment behind them and the reward before them, and they would run to Jesus. It's in His name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, so what rewards come to us from submission to God? And the first thing I would say to you, because this is most important, and again, the list isn't, most important to least, but this one is the most important, I believe, is God Himself. Think about that for a moment. What rewards come to us from submission to God? And the answer first is God Himself. You get God. Now, that might not be topped on your list. I mean, you might not think about it in that way. You might think of all the other benefits, the heaven and the streets of gold and all that other stuff. But if God is not in heaven, then heaven isn't heaven, right? He's the reason we're going. He's the one our soul longs for. And so God Himself is the greatest reward that we get. Psalm 37, verse 4. In fact, let me just go ahead and pass these out tonight so you're ready when we come to them here. Psalm 37, verse 4. Who would read that tonight? Thank you, Wes. How about John 3:16? Anybody, you can quote that one, can't you? Who's going to say that one real loud? Loud and proud. Who's going to take that one? All right, thank you, Jeannie. How about Romans 12:2? Romans 12:2, thank you, Mike. Galatians 5:22-23, who will read that one? Thank you, Don. How about Psalm 63:1-8? Psalm 63:1-8. Thank you, Nathan. Psalm 119:105. Wendy, you got that one? I saw it. Was that your hand that went? All right. Psalm 119:105. Matthew 25:21. All right. Thank you, Shannon. James 4:6-10. James 4:6-10. Thank you, Christy. Proverbs 16:7. Thank you, Mark. And then finally, 1 Corinthians 11:1. And those will be our 10 passages to think about tonight. 1 Corinthians 11:1. Thank you, Clint. All right. So, the first one here again is God Himself. What rewards come to us from submission to God? God Himself. Psalm 37:4.
Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart.
Now, a lot of people misunderstand this one. They think if I'll delight myself in God, then He'll give me all the other stuff I want. Like it's a blank check, okay? But that's not what the passage is actually saying, right? Delight yourself in the Lord, right? Put your heart chasing after God, and God will give you what your heart is chasing after, namely Himself. God will not withdraw from the one who delights in Him. God will not hide from you. He longs to be in relationship with you. And if you will delight yourself in the Lord, He will not disappoint you. He will give you Himself. Now, guys, why is it so important? Why should that relationship with God be the most important benefit for you and for me?
He's our best.
Okay, He's our best, absolutely.
My pastor in Georgia, He always used the family mentality and said God's the most important, and He's bringing you and you and Him, and you have over spillage to pour into others.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah, absolutely, that's good.
What did you say?
A fountain, basically, as God is a fountain, as you basically drink, or as He pours into you, you can pour into others, and so you get that overflow. Yeah. Why else is that relationship with God most important? That's what we were made for. Yeah. And you will find no greater joy. I mean, guys, let's just for a moment. I mean, we just sang about, you know. What was the song, the faith song we just sang, Mark? By faith. By faith we see the hand of God and all that. We just sing all that, okay? And yet sometimes it is by faith, right? We can't see it. I mean, we can't see God at this point. But one day we will behold Him. One day faith will be sight. And again, our hearts get focused on earthly things and temporal things. But God is what our heart actually longs for. So God Himself is the first and foremost thing. If you'll submit to God, you'll get God. You will get God. Secondly is you'll get everlasting life. That's pretty good. Of course, that's with God. But John 3:16 says what? Who was that?
I'm actually going to read it out of
Children 5. Go for it. That's right. When you think about the commandment, right, in the New Testament, under the New Covenant, the primary commandment is surrender your life to Jesus Christ. Submit to Jesus Christ. Believe on Jesus Christ. And if you will do that, again, you see the reward and punishment right here. They're right in one verse here, that you will not perish, but you will have everlasting life. Life without end. All right? Now, remember, keep in mind, everlasting life is in comparison to everlasting death. All right? That's the opposite side here, but God promises to give us life. And it's not just life eternal, it's life with God eternally. Everlasting life. In a resurrected world, a renovated world, whatever word you want to do there, a redeemed world, in resurrected bodies. It's just, again, it's hard to fathom all that it's going to be. But again, everlasting life with God. The third reward that God promises to us if we will submit to Him is increased Christ-likeness. increased Christ-likeness. Now, we've already, I preached on this verse just a few weeks back, but Romans 12:2 promises this. Go ahead, whoever's got that one.
Do not be conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may discern what is the good, pleasing, and perfect will of God.
Now, right here, it doesn't say exactly increase Christ-likeness. It doesn't say that. But I believe when it talks about being transformed, who are we being transformed into? The likeness of Jesus Christ. Romans 8 tells us that we've been predestined to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. We're to be like Him, right? God's made us holy as He is holy. He wants us to be that. And as we grow and submit, we become more like Jesus. You know, when you think about beauty, the world measures beauty how? How does the world measure beauty? Outward appearances, right? By how big your nose is or how small your nose is. You know, different places in different parts of the world, they measure that by different ways. Right? Some you know, ladies in one culture or men in one culture, we would think, oh my goodness, that's not. But they would say, hubba hubba hubba, right? they would love it. All right. In fact, the girl I went to college with, she went to the Dominican Republic on a mission trip, and she's a heavy woman. She's a heavier woman, all right. And she said basically the men were hubba hubba hubba. All she's like, but down there again in America, it's more what? Slender, right? That's what all the ladies want to be. They want to be more slender. In the Dominican Republic, they're looking for women who have some more meat on their bones, all right? That means you got access to food, and they want that, all right? And so anyway, you think about beauty, it changes. But back to, I'll probably get emails on that one, all right? Never mind, don't quote me on that one. But when you think about beauty spiritually, there's no one more beautiful than the one who is like Christ. And as you increase in your Christ-likeness, you actually increase in your beauty, don't you? You become more beautiful, more attractive.
Ben, can I ask
please.
A question?
Yeah.
The book that I've read over the years is called Genetic Entropy by a fellow who was a geneticist and became a Christian.
Right.
And he says that actually beauty, we think it's subjective, right? Mm. But actually it's objective because every physical trait is measurable with numbers, right? And so numbers are concrete.
Mm.
But he said, as Christians, there's something that is beyond beauty, and it's elegance. And he goes into some detail about why that makes sense. I think that sometimes we miss that. You know?
Absolutely, yeah.
Because we're always looking for, the first thing we look for is that outward sign, rather than the depth.
Yeah, thank you, Chan. Appreciate that. So increased likeness is one of those rewards. God, if you will submit to God, He will reward you with making you more like Jesus. And that's good stuff. That is good stuff. We desire to be more like Christ. Fourth is the fruit of the Spirit. As we think about the rewards that God offers us, you will have the fruit of the Spirit in your life. Galatians 5, 22 and 23. Who wants a little more of that in their life, okay? I mean, it's all there, right? If you'll submit to God. Because again, if you look at Galatians 5, there's the war, right, between the flesh and the spirit here. And we're going to submit to one of them, either the flesh or the spirit. And here we get these things. I know no one who would say, no, I don't want love in my life. I don't want joy. I don't want peace. All these things. But if you submit your heart to God, the fruit of the Spirit will come out in you. Which one of these is most desire? Which one do you desire the most right now? When you look at this list, which one, if you could have more of it in your life, you'd say, I want that one right there. Which one out of that list?
Self-control.
Self-control. Absolutely, that'd be great to have more of. What else? What would you say?
Patience.
Patience. Yep. That'd be great, wouldn't it? What else? Who else? Absolutely. So we could go on and on with this list here, guys, but again, do you want these things? Then submit to God, and God will reward you with these things. Whatever God says, do, do it. Whatever God says, believe, believe it. And you'll get the fruit of the Spirit in your life. We often talk about peace. Now here particularly, when I think about peace, I think first and foremost that it's that inward peace. That you have a heart that when you lay your head down at nighttime, you can rest knowing that you and God are together, right? You are God's and He is yours. And we're going to talk here in a moment about that outward peace. But, you know, when you think about the promises of God, it doesn't get much better than peace, does it? Peace with God. Number five is you get personal satisfaction. Personal satisfaction. Psalm 63, 1 through 8. Man, I love that psalm. You know, it's a passage of scripture here that clearly this is a person who is famished, longing after God, and God blessed, right? That satisfaction, that personal satisfaction. God will satisfy what you're longing for. Other things we try to stuff in that place that try to find satisfaction in will fail us, but God never will. The sixth reward that God gives us if we'll submit to God is a godly and sure direction. Which way should I go in life? And God says, just submit to me, and I'll show you. I will show you. Psalm 119, 105. Psalm 119, 105. God's word, as we talked about last week, right? You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free, right? Truth is a guard for our heart. For a life, just like light is. We've all been there before where we've walked in the dark and we hit our toe, we stump our toe. I mean, darkness is not good. But here, God's word is a lamp and a light. And if we'll submit to it, we'll have a godly and secure direction, safe and good. All right? A godly and secure direction. Seventh tonight, as we think about rewards, I think about God's applause. God's applause. In other words, God's pleasure, God's happiness. He is glad with what you have done. How about Matthew 25? Matthew 25, verse 21. Who had that one?
His master said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a little, I will set you over much. Enter the joy of your master."
Enter the joy of your master. This is, of course, in the parable of the talents, where he sends people out and he gives them talents to money, basically, to steward while the master's away. And this one here does really, really good. And this is a passage of scripture that we probably all would say, I want read at my funeral and said about me. But more importantly, this is what we want God to say about us. Listen, we all desire to have the applause of the world. We want people to think highly of us. We want people to be pleased with us. But more than that, we want God to be pleased with us. Well done, good and faithful servant. What happens in your life when somebody applauds you? What does it do for you?
Makes you a little taller.
Makes you a little taller, right? Yeah. And you can't wait. It gives you strength to go forward. And guys, I just want you to know that when the going gets tough, and it does, right? When you're serving God, when you're submitting to God, know that God's saying, yes, yes. Just think about it at the end. Actually, in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, where he talks about that cloud of witnesses. And I always picture, and he talks about running the race and laying aside the weight and getting rid of all that stuff and run the race with endurance. I always picture that home stretch of any race. Now look, I've never run a race in my life, okay? Never run a race. But nevertheless, that crowd there as they come in, what do they do when they come and get ready to cross the finish line? They're going, yeah, go, cheering and all that stuff. And that's what the saints in heaven, that's what God himself is doing, guys, as we endure and as we're faithful and obedient and submissive to God. God applauds us. And that's a great reward. Number eight is God's friendship. Not just God's applause. He's not just happy and pleased with what you have done, right, when you submit to him, but he is your friend. James chapter 4, 6 through 10. James 4, 6 through 10. Who had that one? All right. I think particularly here where it says just that it gives more grace, therefore it says God opposes the proud. In other words, when we are proud and arrogant and unsubmissive, guess who stands against us? God does. Right? If you want a life that is hard, then go against God and let him stand against you, right? Let God oppose you. But on the opposite side of that, the implication of this is that if you will humble yourself, if you'll submit yourself to God, that he'll not oppose you, he'll befriend you. There'll be a closeness there. There's a sweetness there, an intimacy there. We often talk about union with Christ, that connection with Christ. There's a friendship there. Number nine, we talked about peace a moment ago, particularly that inward peace. But number nine, one of the rewards that God will give us if we will submit to him is a greater potential for external peace. External peace. Proverbs 16:7.
When a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be peaceful.
That's a pretty cool promise, isn't it? Right? That's a pretty cool. I mean, again, that's a proverb. That's a principle in life. It's not a guarantee every time. Because again, you can follow God and your neighbor hate you. All right? But know this. If your ways do not please God, if you're not submissive to God, then he can stir up your neighbors against you. You say, when have you seen that happen in the Bible? Any times you can think of?
Judges.
Yeah, the book of Judges, all the time. The whole Old Testament, that's right. I mean, it happened all the time. Listen to what the prophet Amos said. Chapter 6, verse 14. Amos 6, 14. Here's what he tells the people of Israel. For behold, I will raise up against you a nation, O house of Israel, declares the Lord, the God of hosts. And they shall oppress you from Lebo Hamath to the brook of Arabah. Guys, God can certainly destroy peace if we'll not submit. That's discipline, right? That's what he was doing here. He was disciplining them. But one of the promises of God is that if you'll submit to him and walk in his ways, that there will be a greater potential for external peace. And then finally tonight, as we think about the rewards, it's is number 10, a positive legacy for others. We want our lives to count. And not just for us, right? You're not just living for yourself. Hopefully, you're not just living for yourself. You're living for the next generation. Maybe even the next generation. Because some of you are grandparents at this point. Maybe even great-grandparents at this point. And so as you think about your life, you've got an opportunity to live for others. But not just in your family. With those around you. So 11:1. 1 Corinthians 11:1. Paul says this. That's right. He's inviting people to imitate him. In other words, he wants to be a positive example. To be a Christian, guys, is to be set up on a pedestal to somebody. You say, well, I don't want to be on a pedestal. That's the way God designed it. He has called you to be an example. He has called you to leave a legacy. And I pray that you would. As you imitate Christ, I pray that others would imitate you and that you would leave a positive legacy for others. And that's a reward. Again, just think about as you lay down to sleep at night. You can know. Even if you feel like I've not accomplished anything, if you've been Christ-like that day in the presence of someone else, you've been a blessing and your life had meaning and purpose. All right? You're leaving that positive legacy. And again, even at your death time, when it's time for you to die, we all want to die leaving behind a legacy. And so God has put all these rewards, and you would probably list out some other ones, but these are 10 that I thought of that God has put out there for us to help you and me submit to him. And so here's my final prayer as we come to the end here. May submission to God come easy in the knowledge of all the reward God has in store for those who live under his authority. Run after the reward through submission.